This is CBS Out in the World, Hotel Mars, episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself of The Space Show, joins me, and we're very pleased to welcome the senior space editor of Ars Technica, Eric Berger, to help us understand a strange story about moon dust and dead cockroaches, three dead cockroaches, without names to my knowledge. But recently in the news, these three dead cockroaches, in conjunction with dust said to be from the surface of the moon, was offered on auction in the Boston area. What happens next is part of the legend of moon travel. Eric, a very good evening to you. Those three dead cockroaches, that moon dust, where is it now, and what is the determination of NASA about the freedom to resell dead cockroaches who may or may not have ingested moon dust? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So there was a scientist named Marion Brooks who did this research back after Apollo 11, and they wanted to make sure that the moon dust coming back was not toxic. So he did some research, like, and this was while the astronauts Neil and Buzz and Michael Collins were in quarantine. Just they fed cockroaches this moon dust to see if they had any harmful effects. And the cockroaches survived until the astronauts got out of quarantine. Now, more than 50 years later, a little bit of this dust and three of the cockroaches have been put up for auction by R&R Auction. And NASA said, whoa, you cannot commercially sell moon dust that came back from the Apollo program. And there was some back and forth. And eventually, in the last week, R&R Auction pulled it from sale. It was up for $400,000.
$400,000 for three dead cockroaches and dust said to be from the Apollo 11 mission. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. David?
Would you have gotten a certificate guaranteeing the cockroaches had lunar dust in them, or was that a big risk factor?
You got the certificate. You got some slides with dust that had been researched on. So this was legitimate, although it hadn't drawn that much interest. When it was withdrawn, I think the value was the bidding was at $36,300.
So we're looking at an unusual story, but the larger story is that NASA claims all dust, right, Eric? I mean, they've always been keen wherever that dust went. And there were some unusual stories about dust being distributed or other astronauts taking items with them to the surface of the moon so they could sell them afterwards. NASA keeps account of everything that came back from the moon, if I recall. Is that correct, Eric?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And the reason they do it, obviously, is because these people are being sent to space on the taxpayer dime, and their time up there is compensated. And so the idea that they should profit from, you know, mementos or souvenirs or whatever they take into space and come back is sort of antithetical to NASA. And there have been some battles with the Mercury and Gemini astronauts back in the day over this, but mostly NASA's held out. And again, you know, 50 years later, they're still protecting the provenance of this moon dust.
David?
Do you think going forward, NASA will be as protective, say, of anything coming back from Mars, maybe, or someplace else?
From Mars, certainly, at least with the Mars sample return mission that's being planned, not all that much material will come back. And I have no doubt that they will treat that as much or more in a protected manner as they do the moon rocks at Johnson Space Center. The moon is a more interesting story because you're starting to have much more commercial activity at the lunar surface. And I think we could see some commercial companies try sample return missions for this very reason. If you had genuine moon rocks or moon dust to sell, you could probably make a pretty decent profit from them.
This is lunar regolith. I remember reading that it's toxic, that it's poisonous. But the fact that the cockroaches ate it and did not die, at least immediately, maybe they died 50 years ago. Does that mean the regolith is not poisonous? I thought that dust was dangerous, Eric.
The dust is dangerous in that it's very abrasive. So if you inhale it, I think the idea is that it can do damage to your lungs. It can damage spacesuits and other equipment. And it's just, it's sharp. You know, you don't really want to mess with it that way. But sort of the toxicity of ingesting it and sort of getting sick off of it as a food product, I'm not sure we've definitively proven that. I have yet to see studies of humans eating moon rocks.
Right.
But cockroaches are pretty hardy creatures. So, you know, I'm not sure they were the best case.
I recall during the depths of the Cold War being told as a young person that after humanity was wiped out and everything that was on Earth, the cockroaches would remain. They would survive everything. Maybe this is a demonstration of cockroach supremacy. There is another story that doesn't involve NASA and auction houses and 50-year-ago Apollo missions, and that is Starlink. I've recently received notification from Starlink, the company that's attached eventually to Elon Musk, that my box is on the way if I pay for it. I had a reserve in of $99, and I've paid whatever they charged. I don't remember, several hundred dollars. The box is arriving. Are you hearing these stories across America, Eric? And is there pleasure at the boxes arriving, or have we gotten ourselves into a white elephant?
No, I mean, the service works. The people that have the boxes in the area that SpaceX is serving are generally quite happy. The internet speed is pretty high and there's low latency. And there was a study recently done of sort of comparing Starlink to existing satellite internet services. And it was far superior in terms of speed. I think the issue that they're running into, and it'll be interesting to see how this affects you, John, is that as they send out more of these, it overloads the capacity of the system. And so, they're sending out, customers are getting their dishes, setting them up, and they're seeing high speeds. And then over time, those speeds come down as more users come online and eat into that bandwidth. And so that's why SpaceX is in this mad race to try and get more Starlink satellites up there, launching, one or two flights a month.
Ah, I see. David?
My understanding is I've got some friends on ranches out in the Northwest. And unless they are very, very close to the Starlink box, they still have no rural service with their cell phones or anything. They go out to the barn and they're out of range, and they don't have any service again. So they say it's great, but the range is very limited to where you put the box, and then you can be within an area around that box. So ranchers still need broader coverage, I guess.
Can you put an extender or a repeater like you do like in a home network where you maybe have a box in your office and then on the other side of the house, the signal's weak, and so you amplify it?
They say you can do that within the house, but if your barn's down the way,
I see.
That's too far, and they still have no internet or cell service in the location of their ranch. So once they get out of range of the box and an extender, they're back to no rural internet of any kind.
I wonder if that's an issue that would be answered, Eric, by more satellites as well.
I'm not sure if it's answered by more satellites, but SpaceX is definitely working on mobile dishes. They've been promoting RV. Starlink for RV, and you could see the same thing with like work trucks, so that as you drive out to the barn or wherever in the field, you still have internet access.
There was talk, David, Eric and David, talk that the Chinese were preparing to hack Starlink. Is that an urban legend, Eric and David? I ask you both, or is that credible that they are coming up with a system to compromise it?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that Russia was talking a good game about trying to hack Starlink because of its use in Ukraine, and I'm not sure what has come of that. China is clearly watching Starlink very closely, especially because of its battlefield applications in terms of communications and high data and so forth. And we've seen several news articles in China sort of where analysts there have commented on that the Chinese government has taken notice and either A, want to replicate that kind of service or be able to knock it offline. And so that could be the hacking that you're talking about. But I've seen no credible threats or instances of that happening yet.
Eric Berger is a senior space editor at Ars Technica and our man on the cockroaches, the moon. Episode N, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.